The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're still in the analysis of verses 3 and following. The 5 and following. All right, let's take the usual time to get ourselves under the filling ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. That is God's directive will for all of us at all times, to maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have been given a grace way to achieve that, and the filling of the Spirit is instantaneous when the believer in Jesus Christ is in fellowship. There is no reason or excuse for any of us to be out of fellowship at any time, and certainly not when we are dealing with Bible doctrine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for all the grace benefits you bestow upon us so that we can be here. Bless this Bible class to our understanding. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're dealing here with the labor pains. Labor pains is an analogy to the last days, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While they are saying, however, in whatever context this will occur, or there will be an event where people will be all worked up and proclaiming peace and safety. The question is, when does that occur, and who is involved in this activity? Then destruction comes upon them like a woman with child, and they will not escape. This probably is a reference tucked in here to the overthrow of the United States, which will take place approximately, not quite, 3 years after the rapture, right before the midpoint, but on, because there has to be opportunity for people, Americans, who get the word that they need to relocate and get out of the country and not look back. They will be told to do so, and they will have this window of opportunity before the second seal judgment falls. So the woman could be all humanity entering the trib, but I don't think so. That I wrote that, so you'll have to bear with me on that. The beginning of birth pains is probably slightly different and includes at least the time from the establishment of the state of Israel onward. And as we have noted, these phenomena, not confined just to the things mentioned here in Mark, but elsewhere, that these things will continue to escalate towards the end. The next passage is one of the chapters in the Old Testament dealing with political Babylon, the United States, and its destruction. It's important that as a believer, you have an understanding of all of the particular entities involved in the day of the Lord and those leading up to that event. Obviously, at the top of the list is the recognition that Israel is a nation state among the nations, which from 70 AD, the destruction of the temple, Jesus prophesied the actual nature of that destruction, to 1948, Israel was a non-nation. The Jews were simply people scattered among the nations. It doesn't mean that any of them ever was on the land of Israel. It means that they were not there in any way to establish and be a nation. Israel has to be a fully functioning nation for the events of the tribulation to transpire. It has to have all the accoutrements that a nation has. Okay? So, in Isaiah 13, verse 8, I'll read the, in fact, I'll take some time to read more verses than just this. And put those of you who don't know onto some of the major passages in the Old Testament dealing with the United States. And that probably is as far as we'll get tonight. Okay? Now, there are several Babylons in the Bible. There is the Tower of Babel thing. Doesn't apply here at all. That's past history from even this. There is religious Babylon. And it is characterized by the idolatry of the nations, with particular emphasis on the mother-son cult. And the nations at large had this mother-son cult. It can be established. It is to counterfeit Mary and his mother. Satan knew about the promise of the seed of the woman, that a woman would bear the humanity of the Messiah. So he counterfeits this in this mother-son cult. And if you go to the big nations and look, you will find images of a mother holding a baby. Does that sound familiar if you've seen anything with the Catholics? And of course, this morphed when Christianity got cranked up. They established, it reinvented itself into the worship of Mary and Jesus. So that's that Babylon. That's not in view here. The destruction of religious Babylon is discussed in Revelation 17. 18 deals with the United States. There's also the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar, commonly known as the Neo-Babylonian Empire. I want to point out that it is well known that the overthrow of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar's, he was the last one on that throne. It was a short-lived kingdom, but it's very important in the Bible. But it was overthrown by the Persians, and they did not destroy that city, burn it to the ground, kill its citizens at all. It's a complete opposite. It was an overthrow that, as far as I am concerned, is probably almost unprecedented. For one, the lack of violence. The only people that died in that overthrow was the top, was the leader and the top princes and the party house, the party palace that they were in when Cyrus's commandos came in under stealth and hit that place and wiped them out. Daniel was alive then. Daniel spoke to that audience in that room. The old handwriting on the wall that nobody could explain, so they bring Daniel out of mothballs. I don't have time to explain all that. He'd been set aside. We don't need him anymore. Well, he came in and he interpreted the handwriting. See, they're all in your party. They're degenerate, not because they're partying, but they are all partying, and they are toasting their gods with the sacred vessels that had been taken out of the temple of Solomon when it was destroyed by the Babylonians. They went into their treasury house. They could have drank out of anything, right? That's just, again, more mocking of God and His plan by these dummies. And the individual there wanted to award Daniel and all the rest of it. When Daniel actually said, "This is your last night. And he didn't take any of the rewards. They wanted to put a thing around his neck, all this business. He's an elderly man now. He just walks out. And the rest is history. Babylon fell without hardly a whimper. All the citizens, the next morning, it was told, you have new rulers. Go about your business. It's all in the book of Daniel. So we can't refer this to historical or ancient Babylon. This is a prophetic Babylon. One that became a nation in 1776 AD. Officially. Your nation. Mine. It is prophesied. But all this end time stuff was prophesied by prophets going back as far as Enoch. And all the way through, they added bits and pieces to this. And then we get the New Testament. And the capstone, which Paul didn't have, he died in 68, the beginning of the Jewish War. Revelation. God wants us to know the prophetic future. He has been given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to reveal to us things to come. So we're not caught flat-footed. If you are, it is because you neglected learning the truth. You build this edifice of understanding up bit by bit. So that was the first big breakthrough of my ministry. And I delivered my first classes on it on the 4th of July, on the 200th anniversary of America. That would be what? 1976. And nobody flinched. Well, at least I don't know if anybody did. Not at the time. These are all patriotic Americans, all been raised up on rah, 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 go kill the commies, all the rest of it. And they took it like you're supposed to take doctrine. Your feelings are put aside. What does the Bible say? Now, as you read these prophecies that I will bring to your attention and review them briefly, who fits the bill? There are certain key characteristics, and I will point these out by way of review. There are certain key characteristics that doesn't fit. Pick some other nation. It's got to be somebody. So the process of elimination will be obvious, and I'll tell you the one that is, well, it's close, if not at the top of my list. The nation that he is referring, it's a nation. The nation that he is referring to has been built, unlike other nations, on guess what? Immigration. Statue of Liberty, anybody? Where'd we all come from? Yes, there's Native American Indians, but besides that, where do we all come from? From all over the nations. The nations have flowed to her. Some to have a better life, for persecution, all the reasons. Look in some of the big cities. I don't know if it's so obvious today. It has been in the past. Neighborhoods that were Italian, Irish. Got it? Why'd they leave Ireland? Why'd they leave Italy? Why'd they leave these places? Because times were hard, things were difficult, and this was the big dream of people to come here. And we had orderly immigration. We even have a statue. The most iconic statue in America. Of all the statues and monuments of this nature, you see it all the time. The Statue of Liberty. Made by a Frenchman. A woman holding a torch. And it's Ellis Island and all those people that came in there. They had to pass a test to become a citizen. We weren't a bunch of dummies back then. They didn't just come across the border. That's anarchy. And those that had criminal backgrounds and were detected were turned back. It isn't racism, it's common sense. They had to pledge allegiance. They had to know some basic principles about the U.S. Constitution. You take an average kid today, he probably couldn't tell you anything about it. I at least took political science. Now I'd have to read it at every level. But forget that, huh? A nation without that kind of understanding has no cohesiveness. Yes, individuals can keep their individual peculiarities, their cuisine, their culture, a certain amount of their dialect. You all ought to learn English anyway. And then carry on. That's the way we were. Isaiah 13, the oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. He got to see this as like a movie theater thing. This was a vision for him. And when God puts out a vision, of course, I've never had one, and I won't, as far as I know, in this life. Run from me if I tell you I have. But this was cinematic. This was big time. Everything was there. And then after he saw the vision, of course, he had to write this thing down for us. Lift up a standard on the bare hill. Raise your voice to them. Wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. This is a military type thing based on antiquity. A standard on a hill indicating something of an attack. I have commanded my consecrated ones. Consecrated means set apart. I, the Lord, is speaking. I have designated them and set them apart. These are the enemy soldiers. This is the enemy soldiers. He calls consecrated ones. Not in the spiritual sense, but in someone who has a service to render to God. I've even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. They got their own reasons for doing it, but they're going to execute my anger. A sound of tumult on the mountains. Mountains do not refer to high places like the Andes. It refers to kingdoms and nations. The Bible uses hills for littler entities and mountains for bigger countries. China would be a mountain, as a for instance. A sound of uproar of the kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of the armies, that word host means armies. All the armies that are on the earth at any time, in any place, guess who's over them? The Lord. Not that they do His will all the time, but He is the Lord of all armies. They aren't sovereign entities unto themselves. The Lord of the armies is mustering an army for battle. They are coming from a far country. Would you think that today, living in the United States, you would consider Russia to be a far country? Yes, there's a qualifier. A far country. More on that. From the farthest horizons. Oh, that fits perfect. The Lord and His instruments of indignation. You'll notice the constant repetition here. The instruments of His indignation. To destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Now, when this country comes under attack, there will be very little retaliation or response, if any. It'll be such an absolute one-sided event, it isn't funny. Therefore, all hands will hang limp, and every man's heart will melt. That is that they are demoralized as this thing gets cranked up. Not mean they don't do anything, it's just they're demoralized. They'll be terrified. Pains and anguish will take a hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment. Because they will be on the ground here when this event occurs. When these nukes start going off and hitting these cities, there will be those that will be wiped out instantly. They won't even know what hit them, vaporized into the atmosphere. Others will be in different places and they will look at each other in complete, utter shock. Because they don't have doctrine, they didn't want the doctrine, it was put before them. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame, nuclear burns. If an atomic bomb went off over here and you looked at it, the flash, one, you'd be blind. And then there's the heat. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Now that deals with it in general. We come down to one particular aspect of it, which is really huge in terms of the whole thing. This gets this whole thing really rolling. But obviously, all the problems spread to the rest of the nations. The day of the Lord is coming. I told you what it is. That's the phase from the first, from the rapture to the second advent. Cruel. With fury and burning anger. To make the land a desolation. It comes back to a singular land that is made into a desolation. Many nations have been overthrown and in very destructive ways. But when I get through describing this to you, the United States will be unprecedented. Unprecedented. And He will exterminate its sinners from it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. This goes further on into the... See, this isn't just confined to the United States. It spreads out and affects all the nations in various ways. Now I'm going to skip to verse 17. Because we have as its background Babylon. We have the ones who overthrew Babylon was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was made up of three basic cousins, if you will. The number one, the Medes. Their king was from the Mede clan, if you will, or whatever you call it. Cyrus the Great. Then there was another, excuse me, he was Persian. They were the Persians. And then there was this another category called the Medes. Excuse me, Medes. The Medes in Cyrus's army were famous and they had a forte as archers. They were good with the bow and arrow. Remember, David said how the Lord had gave him this phenomenally gifted physiology to be a warrior for the Lord and to kill people and stack them up like cordwood. And he said he made my arm strong so that I could pull a bronze, so I could pull a bronze bow. You have to have some shoulders and strength to do that, apparently, because you have to pull it and you have to hold it steady. And there's a lot of pounds involved in that. David has that. He tells the Lord that he made my body. He made it what it was. He said, I could jump over a small fence, just hop over it like a gazelle. He gave David those genetics because he knew he would need them in his service to God as a believer during those years. So the Medes. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them. The Medes had nothing to do with the fall of ancient Babylon. Nothing. This was a commando team that went in and diverted the river Euphrates because the river ran right through the city. And that's what they put their trust in, their walls and this water that they'd always have. Well, the Medes just diverted it, snuck around. While these dummies should have been protecting their country, their city, they're in there partying. Because they're degenerate. And they're arrogant. So
This is, anyone would read this, go, what? And every phrase has significance because the destruction of America is thermonuclear. And what does thermonuclear do to all this stuff besides tear it all to pieces? Any of it that's left intact is radioactive. How long before anybody could walk into Hiroshima and Nagasaki after we dropped the only country to use atomic weapons against a nation? Who is that? Russia? U.S. The Japanese will call this karma. I don't know, make this up. They'll call this karma. They haven't forgotten that we destroyed two militarily totally insignificant nations, killing men, women, and children on the ground. Barbaric. Oh, but it ended World War II and all the stupid history books. It was over. And there were leaders in the United States, even General MacArthur, said, this isn't good. They restricted all the pictures coming out of there because it would so horrify people. Pay attention, this is hardcore. This is hardcore. Who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold? Usually when nations overthrow nations, the victorious army plunders them. We did a lot of plundering in Germany, our soldiers, for World War II. They plunder. They see all these free goodies sitting around, they grab them up. There'll be no plunder from Babylon. The Medes take no Persian, no value. And do you know how much we don't? It's beyond comprehension. The amount of expensive stuff that's in Oklahoma City. Expand that on out. In terms of, you can name it, material things of great value. It's mind-boggling. The wealth stuck away in everywhere in this country. Because we've accumulated it. They will not take pleasure. They will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. And their bows will mow down the young men. This is unconventional bows. What's a bow? It's the launcher. So wherever they launch these nukes, whether it's off subs, airplanes, or intercontinental ballistic missiles coming over the Arctic. I saw a movie once. It was a B movie. It wasn't any good particularly. And what was the name of it? Had some big name. And the movie starts off. It's about a nuclear attack on America. And we've come this close at least several times. But Jesus Christ controls history, and it isn't the time. I was raised up under the Cold War Soviet thing. And as little kids in school, we'd have drills. And we hide under our desks. Oh, that's going to save us. But that isn't the point. The point wasn't to save us. It is to condition us. So we will live in fear. That's what it was done for. Their bows will mow down the young men. Young American men, whether they're in the military or not. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb. Now, Meade didn't go around and start shooting arrows at little babies. But the nuclear bomb knows no discrimination. And the little ones will die by the millions. You say, that doesn't sound... Listen, you've got to hear the whole story. The things this country has done has led to a lot of suffering on this earth. Unnecessary suffering. And it includes children, the old, all of it. When you understand the true history of things, if you get this varnished version we got in high school or wherever, that our cause was always righteous, and we're not up to anything wrong, you believe that? You need to do some research. Nor will their eye pity children. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms. The glory of the Chaldeans' pride. Oh, we get another group in, the Chaldeans. That Chaldeans had nothing to do with the Medes and Persians. And that third group I didn't mention, the Elamites. They came out of what we call today Iran. Now over there is another group, the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the ethnic group that formed the Babylonian Empire. And what does Chaldean translate into in this code system regarding the United States? I'll tell you what it does. The original people, the original activity over here. Britain, Anglo-Saxons. The British colonies. White Anglo-Saxons. And other peoples came in, obviously. The glory of the Chaldean pride. England, our mother nation, we'll get that. That's our mother nation. Our mother nation is England. And on that, it's a big island, but still, the British knew how to conquer things. Conquest. They had colonies all over the place. It was said, at their peak, never does the sun set on the Union Jack. That's their flag. Because it was always somewhere around there, whether it's in India or wherever, they had all their colonies. Well, that shrank down. And guess who God handed off to? The mother handed it off to. I'm doing it. To the United States. The big, powerful, economic United States of America. We grew into this through our history. We'll be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what the ingredient there was? Heat, fire. Get this. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Well, people are living in Sodom and Gomorrah, that area. I went down the road. They had big hotels out there. The Caesar Palace, blah, 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 blah. Down there, all the way down the road. This country will never be inhabited again. Even in the millennium, no one will be allowed to come in here. Nobody. More on that later. These are just details. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there. That's a nomadic people that live out. Well, guess what? Arabs have pitched their tent in ancient Babylon all through history. In fact, the original site, you could go over there and travel to it today, perhaps. I don't know. It might be problematic with all that's going on, but. Nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. So what is going to inhabit the United States from one seashore to the other, from one border, from Canada to the south? What's going to inhabit this land? Animals. Animals will flourish. It'll be one big habitation, kind of ironic in some ways. But desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses, that's the ruins. Nice big subdivisions, big houses all over. They aren't all completely flattened and destroyed and obliterated. Some of them are just shells of what they were. Windows blown out, columns collapsed, roofs collapsed. But guess what's going to inhabit them? Animals. They'll make it their homes, their dens. See, the judgment continues past the event. This hasn't happened to anybody. You ostensibly can go just about anywhere on earth if you can get the permission to do it. The desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches, we don't typically think of ostriches here, but people have ostrich farms. They have different kind of little things going on that we've imported in here rather than just our native animals. And it only takes a male and a female to escape a zoo and survive and start propagating. And if God's blessing their propagation, it'll be a big, unvisited nature park. Not nicely kept up, overgrown, everything growing wild during the 1,000 years of Christ. In fact, nobody will be permitted to come in here even after the radiation is gone. It'll be marked off under the rule of Christ. You can't go there. Somebody said, well, could we in our resurrection body? I don't know. But the average person can't. They can't come back, rebuild it, and start over. That's how serious God's attitude is towards what is coming up on the horizon for this country. And you can see why this isn't going to be popular. But then you tell me who this is. You know, some people say, well, it just refers to the whole world. It can't refer to the whole world. The whole world does not become uninhabited and filled with animals, and that's it. So that's dumb. And their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers. And jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her faithful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. All right, after that, let's turn to, of course, everyone knows this. This is the mother lode of the Old Testament on it. It's Jeremiah 50. Of course, Jeremiah, he lived during the Babylonian times. He watched his nation destroyed by the ancient Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar. But these prophets had prophecies of distant things. They had near prophecies and distant prophecies. Verse 50, the word, chapter 50, verse 1. The word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, read, Anglo-Saxons. Now, people don't like that today because we're trying to throw history on its head. But it was the Anglos, the Saxons. Remember, they had three groups in England? Anglos, Saxons, and Jutes. Okay. And it was the British that were over here and set up these colonies. The 13 colonies. That was a British thing. Yes, other nations finally came over. Spain had a deal over here and whatever. But that was the 13 were all British. The land of the Chaldeans through Jeremiah the prophet. Declare and proclaim among the nations. Proclaim it and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it, but say. See, I'm not concealing any of this. Babylon has been captured. Bel has been put to shame. I haven't perfectly worked out the corresponding on the Bel thing like I have. Oh, Babylon is code. Marduk has been shattered. So those were prominent deities in ancient Babylon. Her images have been put to shame. Her idols have been scattered. For a nation has come up against her out of the north. That's the far horizons, you know. Russia's out of the north. And last time I checked. It will make her land an object of horror. Horror on who? Those standing outside and seeing and hearing it. And there will be no inhabitant in it. That doesn't mean everyone will die instantly. But as we shall see, this radiation will eventually give everybody cancer. Both man and beast have wandered off. They've gone away. The only thing is the animals are coming back.
Animals have a way of getting out of danger, but they've gone away. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom, scattered Jews. They will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord their God they will seek. The return to Israel will crank up big time following the rapture. That is the time of Jacob's trouble and the time when God takes blindness away from Israel. They will ask for the way to Zion, read Jerusalem, turning their eyes in its direction. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. My people, referring to Israel, have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, bad kings, bad leaders, all the way down to the time of Christ. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. Mountains refer to kingdoms, scattering the Jews. They have gone along from mountain to hill. Jewish dispersion. And have forgotten their resting place. All who came upon them have devoured them. Persecution of the Jews among the Gentile nations. And their adversaries have said, we're not guilty. Inasmuch as they've sinned against the Lord. So it's okay for us to treat them like hell. Wrong. The whole principle that God said to Abraham, those who curse you, I will curse. And those who bless you, I will bless. Treat Jews well. Don't persecute them, obviously. They have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. This is the kind of stuff that certain Christians would put out. It's okay to abuse the Jews because they crucified Christ. They're all these, they're Christ killers, they're blah, 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 blah. And in certain Christian circles, historically, this is what's been propagated. Not here. Now, we come back to the will of God for people in America after the rapture. Wander away from the midst of Babylon. Go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. What's that about? I believe God is going to, after the rapture, raise up individuals that are going to help these people that want to get out of here. People with money, people with means. Maybe shipping magnates. I don't know. And they're going to get people out of here. They're going to make a way. He doesn't just say, oh, leave Babylon. I'm sorry, you can't get out because, you know, there's restrictions and you can't leave and blah, blah. It's going to break down. Somehow, that's unforeseen by us sitting here today. Where all these restrictions of just getting on a plane. Now they're wanting to say, do you have your vaccine? And whatever else goes down, it's going to break down. God is not bound by any of this mess. And He can turn things so fast, it isn't funny. But we don't have to concern ourselves. We're getting out the easy way. Behold, I'm going to rouse up and bring against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north, and they will draw their battle lines against her. From there, she will be taken. Conventional warfare, you couldn't take her from the north just by shooting arrows and stupid stuff. You'd have to have an army come in and cross our border and invade our land. Physically. So this language, how are they going to be taken from there? We all know it. We all know that all they have these type of hypersonic nuclear missiles that can travel thousands of miles from their silos or from their submarines. And I saw that B movie when they showed that place went dead still. That theater. Always keep in mind, Christ controls history and He's orchestrating this behind the scenes. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. These things will hit the mark. Who does not return empty-handed? Chaldea will become a plunder. All who plunder her will have enough. I've seen three kinds of plundering in the Bible. There's the conventional plundering. Defeat people, take their goodies. And then the way the Jews plundered the Egyptians when they walked out. You never got that one. The Egyptians are giving them their stuff. Just leave. We've had 10 plagues. Please leave. You want my diamonds? You want what is it? You see anything around here? The Jews got their salaries paid back for being slaves all those years. Nations reap what they sow. When you know the facts. So that expression, from there, she will be taken captive. Chaldea will become a plunder, and all who plunder her will have enough, declares Yahweh. Because you are glad, because you are jubilant, O you who pillage my heritage, because you skip about like a threshing heifer and neigh like stallions. Israel has suffered because some of our policies. We're pro-Palestinian. And we need to have this and that. All that mess. I'm not trying to tell all the Jews are great or anything, but your mother will be greatly ashamed. That's the reaction of England when we get blown up. She will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. Who gave America birth? Britain. Wasn't any of the European countries. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Because of the indignation of the Lord, she will not be inhabited, but she will be completely desolate. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified. I guess they could see some aerial overviews. And will hiss because of all her wounds. They won't say, poor America. It's funny, when someone's down and out, then they all take it out on them. This runs in cycles. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on every side. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Do not be sparing with your arrows. In other words, unleash your full arsenal. All the weapons of the earth and all the goodies and anything you want to name on earth belongs to the Lord. Your pet belongs to the Lord. Everything. He's the Creator. Shoot at her, do not be sparing, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her as she had done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sower, that's the farmer, from Babylon, and the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest. We have been known as the breadbasket of the world. We have some of the most phenomenal production of crops ever. For before the sword of the oppressor, they will each turn back to his own people. There you are. Again, a lot of people will leave and they'll go back to his own people. I'm Spanish. I guess I'll go to Spain or whatever. I wouldn't go to Canada or Mexico. I mean it. It's too close. They will each turn his back to his own people, and they will each flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria. And the last one who had broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, of course, this was written before the Roman deal. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am going to punish the king of Babylon, that'd be the president, and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found, for I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Salvation adjustment. Boom, boom. And the Jews, all their act there will be forgiven them. All right. Verse 21, mark your Bible. Put your Bible marker in there, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Be here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.